Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. Hi, girls. It has been a week, a long week. How many of you are like, wow, it's Thursday already? Do you ever wake up like, what day is it? Sometimes I'm like, just going from one thing to the next, and then you get through your days off, and you're like, how did that go by so fast? I didn't even feel like it was a day off. But you know, God gives us our time in the middle of the week to come and be together as girls. Isn't that special? I don't know where else you can do this at, but God is so faithful, and he's so good to us. And so I believe God has a word for us. He's been speaking to us about unity, which is like, yay, right? No. I mean, nobody's like totally overexcited about it, right? You preach a message on angels and demons or miracles and everybody's like, I'm gonna be there. But unity is like, I'm good. Like, I don't really want to know because there's people I want to be mad at. Right? But God knew that we would need this message and be reminded of this message and then be reminded of the message again and then be reminded of the message again. And so just as I am studying this, I want you to know Pastor Jess is not any different than you and that I am just as anointed to live this out as you are. Okay, so we're all in this together. I do not have this all together. I am learning as well. And right when you think you know, you learn you don't know. You know nothing. And God knows everything. And so we just go back into the submission and the surrender of who God is. And so today, let's dig into it. Unity, part one and part two, if you did not get it, you can go back onto the podcast and you can get those. And last week, the Holy Spirit was just pushing through. I mean, it was like a message for me. I felt like something demonic was actually pushing me back while I was preaching. And there was such a fight. So if you're wondering, why was she so crazy passionate? It's because I was fighting hell to get the words out. And so I believe that God wants us to get this because it's really big to God. And if something is big to God, guess what? I want to pay attention to it. If God is speaking this and asking me to look at this, then I need to be in favor of what God's in favor of. I need to pay attention and to turn off my mind. So if there's distractions happening in your life right now, maybe it's your phone or people are talking to you or whatever, turn your phone off. Because this is your time with the Lord. If maybe you are thinking about something that just happened before you came in, guess what? Turn off that thought. Let's be like men and put it in a box. Because right now, it is our time to be with Jesus. And I believe that he wants us to learn some things about unity. So we've been studying in Psalms 133, and I believe God has just really done some amazing things through this. Have you been getting something from the Lord in this? So good. So I wanted to first start out with this, that sometimes we think that unity is uniformity, but did you know that it's not? It does not mean that we all are like robots and we are the same. We do not walk the same. We do not talk the same. God knew we would be different. But let me explain what unity to God looks like. You know, we think about a symphony or an orchestra. Each instrument has its own purpose and it does its own thing, right? And in that, what brings that orchestra together? The conductor. Jesus is the conductor of our lives as Christians, and we are the body of Christ. We all serve our own purpose. We all look differently. We all walk differently. We think differently, right? Like God put us on this earth and made us uniquely who we are. But when we all come together in unity to follow the Godhead who is Jesus, it is like that symphony that pulls together and starts playing the most beautiful piece of music, and it becomes a beautiful sound to those around it. And that's what a picture of unity is. It's not uniformity, but it's unity in who Christ Jesus is in our lives. That's where we can come together. And you say, well, I'm having a hard time coming together with somebody because maybe they don't think like me, and so therefore we can't be together. We can't be in the same room together. We're having a hard time even having conversations. These are very normal things in a human's life. And guess what? God knew this. He knew it would be not easy. But God is saying, instead of looking at what you can't do or what you're lacking in or they're lacking in, look to me, the one that will redirect you, and in me, you will be able to have unity. But in yourself, you will never be able to accomplish this. But in who Christ is, we can. And we can overcome, and we can take steps to walk in love and forgiveness and blessing and favor. And I believe that's what God wants us to do in this. And so let's dig in today. Let's strive today. Let's press in to find out what God is speaking to us. I've had so many people ask me because of this message, okay, so Pastor Jess, does this mean that I've got to be in the same capacity with the person that I'm having a hard time with? Nobody wanted to ask that question, right? Or is that a good one? Right, we haven't asked it around the table yet because we knew it would not bring up a good conversation. But the reality is that's a good question. I myself have asked the Holy Spirit this many times, especially when I walk in a room and they're all there and you're like, oh, great. I'm a little mad at them. Have you ever been that way? I don't want to even be around you. Like, can't you just move away? It'd be so much easier. Like, I do believe that God knows that we think these things in our hearts. We're not hiding from him. But it made me think about a time in the Word of God. So I go to the Word to find examples for myself, right? When I'm being totally carnal and not even feel like I'm saved at all at many times. And I go into the Word, and the Lord brought Paul and Barnabas to my mind. And here they were men of God working together in the ministry, working side by side together. And Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark with him on a mission that they were going on. And Paul was like, no, he is no good to me. He is a deserter. So obviously John Mark did something that put a bad taste in Paul's mouth and was like, he's no good to me. I don't want him. Well, Barnabas is like, hey, he's my nephew. He's going to come with me. I'm committed to the process of helping him grow. And he goes, well, that's yours then. It's not mine. I got things to do. And so I did say to Dan, this is not biblical or theological at all, okay? It's just my opinion. Did the snake bitten and shipwreck happen after this conversation? oh no. So they separated and they continued the work of the ministry. They both did amazing things for God. But then later on, you'll hear Paul talking, and I'll give you the references for it. In Colossians 4:10, Paul says this about John Mark. It says, Paul states to welcome Mark. Wait, what happened? What happened then? If Paul was saying, I want nothing to do with him, I don't want him to be in my presence, but now, oh wait, go ahead and bring Mark along. You see, guys, disunity in the body, disunion in the body does happen, but God can turn things around and bring healing to anything, especially through time, okay? Paul later on in 2 Timothy 4:11 says that Mark is useful. So Mark is no longer just to be brought back, but now he wants to put Mark into work, put Mark to the plow and have him help him alongside in ministry. You see, when you want to cut something off or when you think the unity can never be fixed, right? Because it feels that way when you're in the moment. You just surrender to God and you allow God to begin to do his work, his perfect work in you and his perfect work in the other person. And especially if you're believers, you don't have the right, remember we've talked about this, to just say, forget you. That's not how it works. Because God is saying, my children cannot be in disunity. You got to walk in love with each other. This is a hard journey to walk down, but I believe God is going to give us tools and show us in Psalms 133 why it's so important today. And I believe that God wants to join together what the devil tries to rip apart. And so Psalms 133 is a beautiful picture of God saying, if you do it my way, and because of what I'm saying in this, you can have unity, you can have peace, you can live a blessed life, you can have the ability to go further and farther in your mind and in your heart because you are now in a place that is open to what heaven wants to pour out and you can receive it. And so let's get into this. Psalms 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garment. I'm going to stop there because we're going to go into verse 3 next year. No, next week we're going to be hearing from the Love Doctor, but then we'll come back to it. But I wanted to just really hit up verse 2. I'm kind of the type of person that loves to do like expository type messages where I dig and I pull the word apart, and I just love the depth of each word that God uses, because I believe he leaves no stone unturned and he wants us to grasp what he's trying to say to us. And so in this verse it says, it is. We might read that and move right past that. What is it? What is it? Unity. He's speaking of unity. So if we replace it is unity is like the precious. Precious means costly, valuable, and expensive oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. Hold on a second. Who's Aaron? Right? Who's Aaron? If you know your word, you know who Aaron is. But maybe you're newer in the faith. I want to tell you who Aaron is. Aaron and Moses led these children of Israel, and Aaron got to lead them in. And he was the first priest that God anointed and poured out his blessing and poured favor upon him. So here God is referring to Aaron as a very special God-appointed priest. Why is God talking about Aaron when he's talking about joining together in unity? Why is that so important? Why would he bring what we would consider very precious to who God is, right? Because he loved his people and he gave them the best, right? Well, guess what? Because God wants to give you the best, and he sees you as his daughter and his worker and his hands and his feet, and you have been anointed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. Guess what? You are a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You come here, I preach, I fill you up. Pastor Deborah preaches, we fill it. Pastor Sue preaches, we fill you up. Pastor Michelle gives you a word. Pastor Dan gives you a word. You fill up so that when you go out, you are anointed to tell someone the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, so he's relating to Aaron, who is an anointed priest by God. And it says that here's Aaron down his beard, and the beard of Aaron running down to the edge of his garment. You know what that says to me? That oil was a big deal. Some of you are thinking, oh man, that, I already have oily hair. That would be horrible. Like, that would ruin my hair. But you know, back then it was an honor to be ordained and anointed by God. So let's look at the scripture. The oil in the Bible means holy. Anytime that you hear about the oil in the Word of God, it means holy. I'm going to turn to Exodus 30. Can you guys turn with me to Exodus 30? It's a bit more teaching this week. Are you okay with me on this? A little different than last week, but Exodus 30. 30:23-25, and it says, also take for yourself a quality of spices, 500 shekels, and a liquid myrrh, and half of the sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 150 shekels, sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels, according to the shekel of sanctuary in him, and olive oil. What it's talking about is it's showing you that the oil was combined with about 4 to 5 different spices. So the oil didn't just have its own, but God enhanced it. He put more into it. It became more of value. These were valuable things in that time and in that day. And so he's saying that he poured it out on him. So this holy oil that was brought together with spices was being poured out on Aaron, right? All the way down to his garment. But yeah, God is using this as a parallel to us in walking in unity. What does that mean? That means that when I understand what this oil represents, I think I can begin to understand what my walking in unity will represent to the world around me, to the people I have to come in contact with, and to who God needs me to be, because I am anointed to be a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this oil is holy. It's special. So when it is in an abundant and laboring, when applied to Aaron's head, it flowed all the way down to his beard and to his skirt. God was speaking some things to us. So let's talk about what is God speaking through the oil. Number one, the oil represents anointing. I think we hear that word. We don't understand that word in this culture and in this day and age. We don't have a respect for things that God anoints or puts a blessing on. But I'm here to tell you that back in the day, and the word does say it, but we don't live this way, you would hear things like, don't touch God's anointed. You know, the priest would go in to the tabernacle, and they would have to go in the Old Testament and bring all the offerings, and they would put a bell on their ankle because they weren't allowed to touch them, because once they walked into the presence of God, if they were to be touched, you would die. Crazy, right? So they put a bell on them so if they fell out, they could pull them out, and they knew that they could pull them out. You see, God's not playing. Anointing is something that is a supernatural connection to heaven. It's something that God ordains, that he sets on, that he sets apart, that he puts his stamp of approval on, and that he begins to use. And God wants to use you. He has set his approval upon you. He has stamped you with who he is and the righteousness of Christ that lives on the inside of you. This oil on Aaron is representing the anointing that we carry when we choose to walk in unity. I need the anointing of God in my life. I don't want to walk away from that. I don't want to step out from behind under that. I need God to move on my behalf. I need God to move in my children's behalf. I need God to move on this church's behalf. I want to see revival. I want to see women knocking the doors down to get in because they just want more of God. I want to see every seat in that sanctuary full on a Sunday morning because the power of God is so tangible that people can't get enough. You see, the anointing of God is something I'm hungry for. And that is what God is saying, that when you choose to contend for unity, when you choose to walk in love, that there's an anointing that begins to flow from the top all the way down to the garment, to the bottom that flows. I don't know about you, but I would love for the anointing of God to flow into my life. We are anointed to live in unity. Did you know that? See, sometimes I don't feel like I can do this, right? Human side, like, I don't think I can do this. Have you ever said, I'm done? You're like, I said it this morning. God's reading my mail. Guess what? He knows where you're at. He knows the hurt. He knows the pain. He knows the struggle. He knows the conversations. Nothing is hidden from him. But if you can remember that, you know what? I'm anointed to walk this out in love. I'm anointed to walk in unity by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you're not anointed on your own, but you're anointed because of Jesus who lives on the inside of you. And when we look to the conductor, when we look to our creator, when we look to the one who has the source, we can then get ourselves back into unity with who Christ is, and we can walk this out the right way and not our way, right? So we're anointed to do this. By the anointing, Aaron became consecrated. He was set apart. He was holy. Did you know that when you said yes to Jesus and you said, I want to serve him. I want to be his daughter. I don't want to do things my old way. I want to move forward into the life that God has called me to be. And I want to be who God needs me to be. That means you set yourself apart from what you used to be. You became holy in the eyes of heaven, and God began to see you as an anointed child of God. That means that, what does that require of us then? God is requiring of us to stand out in the crowd. And that when we are anointed and when we are called by God, that he's going to fill our mouths in the right moments to say the right things. He's going to put us in divine places to be his hands and his feet. We might be bridge builders. You might be an encourager to somebody who's so broken in a very broken time. You don't know what your assignment will be, but you are on call and you are on mission and you are a full-time minister and anointed by God to bring unity to wherever you go. You are set apart. You are consecrated. By the unity of the church as a whole, our lives are a consecration to God. When we come together, when Michelle and Pastor Sue and Mom and I and Dr. V and all of us get together, we begin to speak the word together, guess what happens? We become stronger together, right? When we begin to, as a church, pray for you, pray for your families, pray for you. We begin to see some miracles. We begin to see life coming to a new level, into a new path, into a new way. When we are together, we are stronger. You can't rip us apart as easy. But when you are an island to yourself, you're easy to wipe out. And God is saying, I've never called you to do life alone. I've called you to be anointed to be the church, to be set apart together. And effectively, you will be ministers called by God. You can do this. That means when one is weak, you can call on the other one and go, listen, I'm having a bad day. Like, can you pray for me? And yeah, I'll pray for you. Hey, I'm having a great day. How's your day going? And you guys can encourage each other. You can build each other up. That's why we put the tables back. That's why we wanted you to meet each other, because then you have a safe place to talk about God in a great capacity. When we choose to walk in unity of Christ, then we are anointed and we are covered by God throughout our day. I want to be covered by God throughout my day, because I know that there are fiery darts coming my way. I know the devil is looking for every path to take me out, take my family out, to bring discouragement, to bring broken ruin. But I'm here to tell you that when you choose to walk in unity, you begin to break the assignments of the enemy, because unity speaks heaven. When you begin to speak in love towards people, guess what happens? You swipe out the enemy from under his feet, and he doesn't have place in your life any longer, because the anointing of God is working through you to do what his word demands of us. The grace of God is working on you, girlfriend. You can do this. We live anointed when we walk in unity. This brings blessing. Who wants blessing? I want some blessing, right? Like, I didn't know one person is like, no, I'm good. I don't need it. But God is saying, I have a whole bunch of blessing for you. I have a whole bunch, and I'm waiting to give it to you. And are you going to do what I need you to do so I can give this to you? And then you can actually do something good with the blessing. But the blessing is not just for yourself. Remember we talked about agape love last week? The blessing, when we receive it, will not just be for us, but for others in our charitable love, right? Like God did for us when he came to this earth. A charitable love, agape love. When we feel the loss or the lack of blessing, this could be a good sign for us to go, is there something going on in my life that I need to fix? Is there a breach with a person? Is there a breach at work? Is there something that isn't joining up in my marriage? Is there a place between me and God that is kind of a bit of a chasm, and I've been a little mad at God for some things? You see, that is a disunity that begins. You won't see the blessing pouring out. It'll be a good sign that, I need to go and search my heart. I need to talk to God and find out what he wants to speak to me on this. So many times I've done this, and I do it through journaling. And you start journaling, you think you're going to start journaling about one thing, you start journaling about something else, and it usually only has to do with you. And God is like, so fix that about yourself, because it's really not about them, it's about you and me. Because really what this comes down to is being in unity with the one who made us and loves us. And then when we do that and we are pleasing to who he is, the blessing of heaven comes and pours out upon us. And the favor of God overshadows and takes over. Isaiah 58, 10 through 12. This was a verse that our church was founded on, and I just love this verse. And it says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then the light will shine from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. That is blessing. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a flowering spring. Ooh, what about you? I want to be a flowering spring, right? Some of you will rebuild, not all of you. I didn't like that when I read that. I was like, why can't all of us? And God says, because not everybody's going to do what I ask. But some of you will rebuild deserted ruins of cities. Some of you. I want to be the some. I want to be the one that God says, she contended for unity, she walked in love, she checked her heart daily, and because of it, I can pour the blessing out on her. I can trust her with the ruins and the broken places, because I know she's going to love people the way that I need her to love them. I know that she's going to see them through my eyes and not her eyes. I know that she's going to surrender her heart to what my will is and not what her will is. You see, God is asking us to be repairers of the breach. Then we will be known as the rebuilder of walls and restorer of homes. How many of you need some restoration in your home? Listen, get in unity with Christ. Begin to know that the anointing of God is going to flow down upon you. Begin to ask the Lord, how can I fix some things? How can I repair some damaged places? What is it that I need to do? And maybe God is saying, you are doing what you need to do. Just stay in your lane and walk in love when you're around these people. Maybe God will guide you. I mean, I've been on so many paths throughout these past, like, lots of years, actually. And each person that I've come across, in each situation I've come across, I've heard the word of God. I've heard, wait. I've heard, no, you need to go talk to them. You need to confront the situation. And that has always been a beautiful conversation. There's been times it has not been right. Like, have you ever confronted someone and it gets worse? You're like, what just happened? I thought it was supposed to be better. You know why?
because you did it on your own. You got to wait for the Holy Spirit to prep that. God is working behind the scenes. He's doing his part. You do your part. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because you are anointed to bring unity onto the scene, and God wants you to be repairer of the breach. He wants you to rebuild walls. He wants you to be the full-time minister that's working on his behalf. The anointing oil, number two, also represents the love of God that covers us completely. You know, I think about that anointing oil, and it doesn't say that they sprinkled it on Aaron, because they would do that. They would sprinkle the oil like that. But they actually took it and they dumped it on top of him, and it went from his head to toe. And I had this earlier, and I don't even think I read this, but there are 750 ounces of solid compounds with 5 quarts of oil. It is made up of spices that are very holy. 750 ounces. They don't make them any smaller than that. That's where they start with the oil. They used to put it in a horn, a massive horn, and they would pour it out upon the anointed one. You see, God wants to pour out his love on you from the top of your head all the way down to the soles of your feet. He wants to cover you in the places that other people haven't covered you. He wants to protect your heart and guard you and love you in ways that no one on this earth will ever be able to love you, because he's the one that made you and he knows you and he He is like madly, passionately in love with who you are. That's quite a thought, right? Because we don't like ourselves, especially as women. I don't like the way I look today. I don't like this. We can nitpick ourselves, right? But God is like, would you stop? I love you. I've been told I'm a big mouth. Okay, I'm a big mouth. But you know what? God loves my big mouth. And I've got to figure out how to use my big mouth so I don't offend people. But I'm on that journey. I'm working on me. But that's where we begin to look at ourselves and we say, this is actually God-given, and I've got to be careful not to shut it off, but to find out how God needs me to use it for the kingdom of God so that I can advance and do, because the love of God gave this to me. The love of God knows who you are. The love of God cares about your day. The love of God wants to hear you speak. The love of God wants to anoint you with his love so that when you're anointed and you're walking this out with the love of God, you are just that sweet, beautiful person walking around and shining so bright with the love of Jesus. You're glowing. You are radiant because God has poured upon you all the way down to your feet. When we walk in the unity that God has poured out on us, the oil in these verses can be translated the oil of gladness. Woo! Have we ever just needed some gladness in our lives? I love my parents. They would always do this to me, so we're going to do it together, okay? Say ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Smile when you're saying it, because you can't be like, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he, he. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he, he. See, I see some of you laughing, because you just sometimes need to stop and laugh a little. We just need the love of God to bring a little bit of joy back into our hearts, because the enemy works all day to steal it. All day to bring discouragement, all day to tell you you're not enough. But God is working overtime to tell you today that you are anointed by God with the love of Jesus from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and you are chosen and you are called and you are in unity with the God of heaven and earth. And if you are in unity with him, no one could come against you, because he's got your back and he's covering you on every end and every battle wound that you are going to come across. God has your hand in this. I love this verse. It says, the oil of gladness is poured out. It's a celebration of our hearts. The oil represents a celebration. Did you know that when the priests were ordained and they were anointed, that that was a celebration of their new life, which they were stepping into, that life of consecration, set apart, holy, right? So God is saying this oil pours out upon you gladness and joy and peace. Hebrews 1:19, turn there with me. If you have loved righteousness, righteousness is right standing with God, and hated lawlessness, that is pretty much what our world looks like. We see it anytime we turn on the TV. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Do you ever feel like you're in the midst of like chaos, but you're okay? Have you ever been in those moments? Like, everybody else is so discouraged, and you're kind of like, it's not getting to me as much as they are. Maybe God is just sustaining your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit is just taking you and saying, it's okay. Like, you're going to be okay in this. There's a rest and there's a settling in who God's presence is. And he is with you everywhere you go. You carry Jesus with you every day, day in and day out. If you said yes to Jesus. Now, you don't get any of this if you haven't said, I love Jesus and I want him to come and be the personal Lord and Savior of my life. But for those that have said yes to God, and I want my life to look like him more and more every day, and I want him to be the Lord and Savior of my life, these are promises for you. That he says that I will take care of you, that I will pour out my love upon you, I will bring a blessing to you, I will cover you in the dark places, I will get you through the hard moments. You see, God's love will carry us to the deepest, darkest places. This is also saying that the churches that walk in unity are sacred. Isn't that beautiful? It's a sacred thing. What does sacred mean? It means blessed, welcomed, and pleasant. I want to live a blessed, welcomed, and present life. The unity that is poured out brings a blessing that drips from the top to the bottom, and everyone benefits and receives from this blessing and the anointing that is poured out. It reaches to every part from top to bottom so that when we are walking in unity, it brings love onto the scene, gladness to our lives, and blessing into the world that we live in. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abide faith, hope, and love, and these three things, the greatest of these is love. God is love. He's on your team. He's on your side. He's anointed you to be able to do this. If he can cover you with love, guess what? You can cover someone else with love because you've been loved. When he covers you and pours out his love upon you when you feel rejected, guess what? You go back and you sit in your room and you remember, no, the love of God is just pouring out upon me. And even though the man or women have rejected me, my God has not rejected me. He does not despise me, but he loves me. He pulls me in and he's with me in times of loneliness. You see, girls, God has never left you nor forsaken you. He has not left you to squander on your own or to wonder where now and where do I go from this. God is with you, holding your hand in the very dark places, and he's with you, holding your hand and leaping with joy when you're blessed. You see, he's with you in the good and in the bad, and he wants you to know that the love of God is wrapping his arms around you today to say that, girls, if you will just contend for unity, if you will just choose to follow me and choose to keep your hearts right before me, I will begin to pour my love upon you like the anointing oil all the way from the top to the bottom. See, God wants to pour out the anointing. That oil represents love for us. Number three, what else does the oil represent? It represents a diffuser. I almost brought my diffuser today. I forgot my diffuser. I'm totally an oil person, okay? I'm one of those people. But if you put it on in the house, the whole house will begin to smell like whatever you put in there, whether it's frankincense, right? Whether it's, my kids have allergies, so I do a lot of peppermint and lavender and lemon. And it fills the room up. It opens up the air passages. There are healing properties in oil. And so God is saying this oil, can you imagine what it smelled like when it was poured out upon Aaron's head? What could you think about the fragrance that was permeating the room? But yet, the oil represents that you're the diffuser of God's beautiful fragrance to this nasty, stinky world we live in. You are a walking, beautiful fragrance of who Jesus Christ is. You see, God wants you to diffuse the scent of love. God wants you to diffuse, to put out the scent of unity. God wants you to diffuse the scent of grace and mercy. Even if it hasn't been given to you, you're going to give it to someone else because of who he is, not because of who you are. The oil let off a fragrance all around it. You are the diffuser of love and unity. The oil is, and it was a diffuser. It was rested upon Aaron's head, but flowed all the way down to his skirt and his garments. Unity will in time make its way from a few to a whole lot of people. It's interesting because I'll put the little diffuser on, and I was going to have the girls do this. I'm sorry, I just got so busy. It was Chloe's birthday, and I was really thrown off by it. Okay, so
But if you put it on in a room, and right away you don't smell it, you don't smell the fragrance. But by the middle of the day, if you have that thing on, the whole house can smell like whatever beautiful fragrance you want it to be. It's like when you light a candle, right? And you put on that candle, you're like, wow, it's just so amazing. That's what your life is. It may not start out the way you think it should. Like, I'm not giving enough. I'm not seeing it touching someone else's life. But God is saying, just stay in there. Don't give up. Keep being my vessel of goodness. Because as you contend for unity, as you continue to walk in love, as you continue to be this woman, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go from a few people to a whole bunch of people. You're going to actually affect more people than you know or you realize, because your life speaks and it sends out an aroma of God's goodness to all around you. You see, God says you will touch many. You will be big and great for the kingdom of God. God wants to do this in your life. I believe this is a beautiful picture. It works for the leaders in the church all the way down to the members and everybody else. Therefore, this becomes a personal matter for us. Each should realize it, each of us. And even each of us will love, and the wise conduct that will diffuse it, the aroma anointing, is ours. That means, what I mean by that is, when I choose to walk in love, when I choose to put my feelings aside, because feelings are fleeting, guys. Like, honestly, you can make me mad in 1 second, the next second I'm like, all right, I forgive you, move on. Like, I mean, feelings just come and go. But God's love is constant. It's ever present. It's not conditional upon how we feel. So when we choose to step into who God is inside of us, we can then step into an anointing, right, like we talked about, and we can send a smell and a fragrance of God's love, his unity, his peace, his rest, and everything else that needs to happen on the scene for that moment. You are an ambassador. You are his hands and his feet. That means you have been anointed to carry out the beautiful fragrance of God's goodness on this nasty world that we live in. That's who you are, and that's what this oil is representing. What does this progression look like? It looks a little like this. God to us, right? Us to other believers, and believers to a sinner. That means we are not to just hold it for ourselves, but we are to go and tell someone about who God is and what the love of God has done for us. I love what Pastor Michelle said. When we tell our testimony, it is a beautiful picture of who God is and what he's done in our lives. And so don't stay silent with who God is and how good he is just because someone doesn't want to hear it. One day they will. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are, I love this verse, we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You are his hands and his feet. You are the voice. You are the scent of heaven for those that do not know anything sweet or precious. You are the one that when they walk into the room, and if they're dying and they're sinners and they know they need a savior, you walk in and you are the voice of hope, the voice of love, the voice of reason. You see, you are the walking gospel truth of who God is. You have been anointed to do this. So we are striving, girls, to keep unity. It's striving. It's not easy. God knew it wouldn't be. He knew we'd have conflict. He knew Paul and Barnabas would separate but come back together. He knew that stupid things would be said. He knew that you're not perfect and neither are other people. But yet he said, look to me and allow me to be your center, to be your strength, to be your focus, to be your fragrance, so that I then can use you to be a walking fragrance to a lost and a dying world that needs to know the love of Jesus Christ. You are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a story for you. And it says, during World War II, Hitler commanded all the religious groups to unite so that he could control them. Among the brethren assemblies, half complied and half refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time. Those who did not faced harsh persecution. In most every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. When the war was over, the feelings of bitterness ran deep between these groups, and there was much tension. These are Christians, guys. Finally, they decided that the situation had to be healed. Leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat. For several days, each person spent time in prayer and examining his own heart in the light of Christ's commands. Then they came together, and Francis Schaeffer, who was told of this incident, asked the friend who was there, "What did you do then?" And the friend replied, "We were just one," he replied. As they confessed their hostility and their bitterness to God and yielded to his control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. When love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Guys, that speaks volumes. I love what these people did. They got together and they talked to the one that could fix it. Because a human conversation can't fix things, but God can. God can fix your heart. He can realign you. He can realign them. God can bring to you what seems so lost in a moment. In a moment. You need a supernatural touch from God today. If there's places of brokenness and despair, I believe that God wants to do something for you in your hearts today. I believe that God doesn't want to leave us in places of just like, what now, God? What now? Where do I go from here? How do I show love to my family? How do I show love to my husband or that coworker that's picking on me? Or maybe it's, I don't know what your situation is. But God does. And God cares for you and he loves you. And he wants you to know that you're not alone in this. So as they went and they got alone with God, did you notice they all got together, but they didn't talk to each other about it? They talked to God about it. And then God changed their spirit towards each other and they walked in a spirit of unity. Ask the Holy Spirit today. Go do some homework. Go home and pray it out. Journal it out. Find out what God needs you to do so that you can be who is pleasing to God. You're not pleasing to men. You're pleasing to God. And that's what God is asking of us. Did you get something from the word today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.